Hey, when you think of musical duos, I'm sure that certain names come to mind. For example, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Simon and Garfunkel, Ike and Tina, Sonny and Cher, Hall and Oates, BB and CeCe, Deborah and Barack. Yep, that's right. They sing the only duet recorded in the Bible. We have it here in chapter 5. As the old saying goes, behind every good man, there's a good woman and a surprised mother-in-law. Well, I don't know about the mother-in-law in Barack's case, but Deborah was definitely a good woman. She was the fourth judge in the book of Judges, and she rallied a reluctant leader by the name of Barak to fight against the armies of Sisera. You see, Deborah had the backbone that Barak lacked. She was the nudge he needed, and because of her courage and Barak's leadership, Israel won a great victory. And chapter 5 records the song that celebrated their triumph. It's a duet. It begins, "Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord." Hey, this is true in the church, not just in Israel. God is blessed when leaders lead and when people willingly follow. Loving leaders and faithful followers combine to make great churches. Hey, put together faith-filled leaders and faithful followers, and they'll make beautiful music for God. The church today is in need of leadership, no doubt about it. We need leaders with faith to move on, with backbone to stand up, with humility to bow down, and with compassion to reach out. We need leaders with integrity and character. The church today needs people who are willing to step up and stand up and take the bull by the horns and yet trust God completely. We need good leaders, but we also need good followers. Reminds me of a young co-ed whose heart just sank when she read the question on the college application, "Are you a leader?" She had too much integrity to lie, so she wrote in no. And the girl was sure that her honest answer would cost her acceptance into this prestigious university. But to her surprise, several weeks later, she received a letter in the mail. It said, "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we need at least one follower." Leaders can't lead unless there's people willing to follow. And it takes more faith to follow sometimes than it does to lead. Leaders trust God, but followers trust God to lead the leader. You know, the ancient army of Israel had an interesting law. You can go back and read it. Deuteronomy 20, verse 8 tells us that if you didn't want to fight, you were allowed to just go home. A soldier not devoted to the cause would be a drain on the army's morale. And this, too, is true in the church. We need people who believe in the cause, who sense God's call to be here. People willing to get on board rather than criticize and grumble and pick it all to pieces. Church members need to support the course set by the leader. It's been said, when you can't lead and you won't follow, all you do is make a dandy roadblock. Hey, it all came together for Barak and for Israel. Whenever leaders lead and people willingly follow, each one doing their part, working together, God wins a tremendous victory as he did this day. Well, verse 3 says, "Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel." When God works, we need to worship and sing praise. "Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom," and she recounts a little history here. "The earth trembled and the heavens poured, the clouds also poured water, the mountains gushed before the Lord, this Sinai before the Lord God of Israel." And Deborah is here speaking of Israel's wandering through the wilderness, but she gives us a detail that we don't get elsewhere. Evidently, God sent thunderstorms during those 40 years of wilderness wandering to water the desert floor. Not only did they drink from the rock, but rare desert rains also became a source of water. I'm sure the rains lowered the temperature of the desert. They prevented sandstorms. They provided additional drinking water. Hey, the heavens poured as they came out from Sinai. Verse 6 jumps ahead to the days of the judges. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael. And you remember Jael. She was the gal that drove the tent peg right through Sisera's skull. Remember her? Yeah. Stay away from anybody named Jael. In the days of Jael, the highways were deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until Deborah arose a mother in Israel. When the land was at war, tensions were high. It wasn't safe on the streets. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. Because of Israel's idolatry, God had raised up Jabin, king of the Canaanites, to enslave Israel. It was God's judgment on his people's idolatry. And because of this period of slavery, Deborah rallied Israel to battle. The only problem was is they had no weapons. Notice what she says. There was no shield or spear seen among the 40,000 in Israel. After these years of slavery, they had no stockpiles. They had nothing to defend themselves with. They had no weapons. They all go out to battle with nothing more than with a repentant heart and a faith in God. She says, "My heart is with the rulers of Israel, who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. Speak, you who ride on white donkeys." Those are the rich folks who sit in judges' attire and who walk along the road. Those are the poor folks. In other words, rich and poor both should praise the Lord. "Far from the noise of the archers, among the watering places, there shall recount the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts of his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates." Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Sing a song. "Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Abinoam." I'm sure this is what God wants to say to us at times. Awake. Hey, wake up. Out of your lethargy, out of your laziness, and give me the glory due my name. The Lord's saying to us tonight, awake, awake, and sing a song of praise. Verses 13 through 18 chart the involvement of the various tribes in the battle. "Then the survivors, people against the nobles, the Lord came down from me against the mighty. From Ephraim were those whose roots were in Amalek. After you, Benjamin, with your peoples, from Machir," which was associated at this point with the western part of Manasseh. "Rulers came down, and from Zebulun those who bear the recruiter's staff. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah as Issachar. So was Barak sent into the valley under his command." The tribes of Ephraim and Benjamin and Machir and Issachar all helped in this battle. "But among the divisions of Reuben there were great resolves of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings for the flocks? The divisions of Reuben have great searchings of heart." Reuben thought about God getting involved. He kind of searched his heart. He kind of mulled it over. He thought about it, but he never did it. He never took action. I wonder how many Reubenites are here tonight. People come to church and